Hey guys, it's Melissa here from melissaopman.com. Welcome to another episode of Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness, the weekly podcast devoted to all things spirituality and self-improvement. I am so delighted you're here with me today. Today I'm going to be talking about what happens when we don't process our emotions. What are the physical and physiological things that can happen to us when we don't allow ourselves to really feel our feelings? This is really a close topic for me this week because we've had a situation going on with someone in my family where they've never properly dealt with grief. And because of that, there's a lot of self-sabotaging going on. It's really, really hard to watch, but I thought that I would share with you kind of what's happening in my own life and teach you why you need to process your emotions. Honestly, one of the main reasons that I wrote my book, Beautiful Morning, which I'm so excited just released a week ago or so, I wrote the book because I had to witness certain family members become distant and become people that I didn't really recognize anymore. And it was such a weird thing to witness. It didn't happen overnight, but it slowly happened. And it really was a hurtful thing. And one of the things I want to talk about, if anyone out there is going through something similar, is the importance of understanding that you cannot save people. You can't be the one always to rush in and make someone process their emotions, heal, and do what they need to do. I wish we could. But there are a lot of people walking around with wounds that they've never healed, and they're bleeding all over people who didn't cut them. You know, I love to say that, but it's true. If you don't heal the wounding that's going on inside you, it's going to spill out everywhere. You're going to see it in different areas of your life. And that's sort of what's been happening with us this week. This has been going on for a while, ever since my mom died, which was in 2023. However, it really imploded this week. So I have a family member who just made bad decisions because he was running from his grief and didn't want to process it. And in doing that, one of the things this person did was to jump into a relationship with someone that the rest of us from far away could see was not a decent person. We're all just looking at him like, what is going on? We just had to sit by and watch. And most of you know that my family was pretty close. We watched this person just completely isolate himself, move away, not really want to be close to the family. And again, you can't make people. I could see that he wasn't processing his emotions and that it was becoming an issue. Like, he was just doing everything in his power to avoid it. At first, it was excessive drinking. Then it became jumping into this thing, and immediately this relationship was toxic. It was one of those things where they just jumped right into living together, and the rest of us were just watching this and were perplexed, especially because this person loved to talk, and everything he would say to us, we knew was a lie. There was no way that what he was saying was the truth. Nothing made sense. His stories didn't match up. But again, nothing we could do. We just had to sit back and watch it. This week it all came to a head because this person finally realized, he woke up and realized who he was with and broke up with this person, kicked him out. Now he's jumped right into another relationship like a week later. And why do I tell you all of this? It's not to call out my family member. Because believe it or not, I love this family member very much and I don't want to see him hurting. But I cannot save him. And that's the thing that I've realized, because even when all of this imploded, this person went right back into his old ways. You know, he was like, I'm going to get help. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. That did not happen. There's only so much you can do. You cannot jump in and save someone else. And that's a really hard lesson, because that's exactly what most of us want to do, especially if you're an empath. You think that it's your job or your duty, and you can't understand when it's not working. Why am I not able to save this person? I came here on this mission to save as many people as possible. Trust me, I understand. I get it. As that type of person myself, I wanted to jump in and just put my foot up his butt and say, straighten up and just get your act together. I can't do that. Nothing that I say or do is going to make a difference in the physical. I can pray for him. That's about it. What I have to do is allow myself to move on. I have to love him where he is at a distance. And that's the only thing I can do. And that's really hard to do, especially when you love your family members and you don't want to have to do that. That's all you can do. And I'm not the only one who feels that way. My whole family feels that way. We don't know what to do. And I was just like, you know what? We're just going to have to back away and just let this play out because we can't save him. We've already tried. He doesn't want it. When people don't see themselves as being sick or hurt or whatever, if they don't see it in themselves, you're not going to convince them. They just have to self-destruct. Most of us do this when we're in our 20s. But, you know, sometimes it happens later on in life because of a tragic event, and that's the case here. It is important, therefore, to process your emotions because that's exactly what's happening. This person is running so far and so fast away from his emotions and what he's feeling because he doesn't want to have to feel it that he's just imploding. His life is just imploding. I mean, it's bad. It didn't have to be that way at all. It sucks to lose a loved one. It really does. And it sucks when that person is really close to you. It can change your entire life. I talk about that in my new book. In Beautiful Morning, I talk about how my entire family dynamic changed after my mom died. We were all really close. After she passed away, it was the first year my kids were in school, and then my daughter decided to go away to school. My son moved in with his girlfriend. I had a rift with my brother, and my brother decided to move out. I ended up being alone, and it was just me and some of the people that I used to be really close to and that I would go and hang out with. I didn't see them. I didn't talk to them. Again, I think because at first it was hard for them to be around me because that was a reminder. I was a reminder of what was no longer there, and it wasn't my fault, and it wasn't their fault, and I don't blame anyone. It just is what happened. And talking to a grief counselor, she said, you know, it's interesting because when people die and they're the ones who are the glue that held the family together, it can completely change and shift the family dynamic, and it did. After some time, though, things kind of shifted a little bit. You know, my son ended up coming back and living with me because he broke up with his girlfriend. The people that we used to hang out with that kind of became distant came back around and tried to make more of an effort. And again, I think it takes time sometimes, which is hard because if you're going through grief and you just need somebody to be there for you, oftentimes people are there right when it happens, and as soon as the funeral's over, people just sort of fall away because we think, okay, well, it's time to go on with your life. But it's not always that easy. And the same can be true not just after a physical death, but after a breakup or anything. When you need people the most, sometimes they're not available. And that's why it's important for you to be able to heal and process what's happening on your own, because you won't always have people there. I mean, it's wonderful if you do, and that's amazing, but not everybody does. It's important not to run from what you're feeling. It's hard, it's heavy, I know that. But when you do not heal the wounding that you have, it ends up coming out in other ways. Maybe you start doing things that you wouldn't normally do, like bad habits. Maybe you start drinking more, doing drugs, whatever, just to numb yourself. And I understand that. That would be easy to do. The problem with that is you're not really getting rid of the pain. It's still there. It's still there, and it's just unprocessed, and it can cause physical problems for you. Unhealed pain in the body, when left unchecked, causes physiological symptoms. I actually heard one doctor talking about how anger that's left unchecked and unprocessed, they're linking that to things like high blood pressure and even cancer. And I don't say that to scare anyone, but to point out that negative emotions really do have a negative impact on your body, not just on your emotional health or your mental health, but your physical health as well. It's really important to deal with it. So how do we process those emotions once we feel them? Because I know a lot of people, again, say, I don't want to. That's a heavy emotion. That's painful. I don't want to have to deal with that. Again, I understand, but I'm here to tell you that you're going to have to process it eventually anyway. And you might as well do it in a way that's comfortable for you. Because if you don't, and I brought up this story in my first book, Beautifully Broken, I bring it up in my second book, Beautiful Morning, the story of the girl who went to, she was on a bachelorette party and they went to a drag show. She was getting divorced. And so, of course, it's in her face that someone else is celebrating getting married and she's here going through divorce. And she was sobbing the entire time, not having a good time. If you don't process your emotions, they're going to come out. And a lot of times it's in inconvenient times, right? If you've been drinking or you see a trigger, that's why, and that's going to happen. You're going to have triggers. Everybody does. That's okay. But if you process your emotions, it really does get easier and it happens less often. It's nice to be able to say, I'm going to choose to sit down and feel this right now so that I can move through it with a little more grace and ease. There are a lot of ways you can work through your grief. I give you all of the ways that I've learned and that I know in my book, Beautiful Morning. And it's Morning, M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. It's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and Apple Books right now. But in it, I talk about all of the things that you can do to help you process your grief. But one of the things that I say is the most important is you have to actually face it. So sit down with yourself when you have time to be alone and ask yourself, what am I feeling? What is it that you're feeling right now? And really lean into that feeling. Okay, I am feeling regret. I'm feeling guilt. I'm feeling anger. This is what I'm feeling. And then I want you to ask yourself, like, get curious about it. Why am I feeling that way? What is making me feel that way? After my mom passed away, one of the things that I felt a lot of was guilt. And guilt is one of the five stages of grief that I talk about. But I ask myself, you know, why am I feeling so guilty? Part of the reason I felt guilty was because I would be stern with my mom and tell her that she wasn't fighting hard enough and she wasn't trying. And at the time, I truly believed that. So I had to come to terms with the fact that it was her journey. She had to fight it the way she wanted to. And no one is allowed to tell you that what you're doing is wrong or right. You know, it just is. She was fighting the way that she knew how, and there wasn't anything that we could do about it. There's nothing you can do to, again, you can't save anyone. You can't literally save a dying person. You cannot save someone who's emotionally dying. If they are ready to go, there's nothing you can do. And that was kind of the case there. She was tired of fighting. I felt guilty because I thought we should have been doing more things. When I sat down and I really looked at myself and I asked myself, what is it that I'm feeling? And that guilt came up. What I realized was the guilt was irrational because we did everything we could do. There wasn't anything more we could do. The guilt was irrational. I was torturing myself with it. And in reality, I think it was more about the fact that I did not have control over what was happening. And lack of control causes fear in a lot of people because for most of us, when we were growing up, we didn't always have control over what was happening to us. So that is a trigger for a lot of people that, oh, that lack of control, that's scary. We have to work through that. Okay, no, I didn't have control over that situation. That doesn't mean I never have control over any situations, but what do I have control over? Oh, I have control over the way I react. I have control over X, Y, or Z. So it's important to sit with that and really examine it and say, okay, yes, there are things I have control over. So sit with yourself and really look at, what is it that I'm feeling? Allow that feeling to come through. If you need to cry, do it. Crying is cleansing. You're getting out everything that's been stored inside your body. And it's important to do that. It's not a weakness. I know some people think it is. It's not. But beyond the fact that it's not a weakness, it's necessary because, again, storing that in your body just causes it to come out in negative ways. And a lot of times it's self-sabotage. We do things that, you know, we wouldn't normally do. I know, like, I complained a whole lot after my mom died. And it was just because I was trying to clear out all of this anger that I had. But I was not doing it in the right way. It was like, came out more like complaining to all of my friends. And that's probably one reason why they also didn't want to be around me. And that's understandable. So I had to work with someone. That's where counseling was great. I was able to say anything I wanted to. My counselor did not care. She listened and then gave me a different perspective. There are a lot of things we can do to process our emotions, and counseling and coaching, those are great opportunities to be able to work through what you're going through with someone else. Sometimes we can't really see it for ourselves. It's hard for us because we're so close, and that's what was happening with this family member too. This family member was hurting everyone around them, but couldn't see it. Like, all the family member could see was me, my pain, me, I'm in pain. That's okay, but you have to work through it. So sometimes having someone else to work through it with you is a really, really good idea. So if you are in that stage of your life where you have pain you're going through, and we all do, it happens to all of us, and you need a little help processing that, check out my book, Beautiful Mourning. Grief doesn't come just from the loss of a loved one. We grieve through a lot of our lives when we let go of friendships or we let go of jobs or anything you can imagine. It can cause incredible grief. It's important to work through it. So if you're stuck in a cycle of grief over something, I would highly recommend checking out Beautiful Mourning. It walks you through what grief is and how we work through it. But the important first step is to acknowledge it. Acknowledge what you're feeling and honor it. And then forgive. If you need to do forgiveness work, that's another step. Who do we need to forgive? Myself? Other people? If you've listened to me for a while, you know that I love the website Radical Forgiveness, because you can go on there, you can fill out the worksheets online, it's free, and it talks you through how to forgive someone else. The forgiveness is about you, not the other person, so it's important for you to honor that. That's Radical Forgiveness, so I would really recommend looking at that too. All right, guys. Well, I hope that this was helpful for you today. I wanted to pull a few cards for you, also to give you some messages. And the first card coming out is moving on and letting go. There's a dove on the front of this, which is a symbol of peace for me. We have to let people go sometimes in order to honor our own inner peace. It's not even always a person. Sometimes you let go of a job or a friendship or something that just isn't serving you. It's time to let it go and move on so that you can experience freedom and inner peace. It's time. If this is for you, you'll know what it's about. It's time to do that. And then you have surrender to trust. Trust yourself and trust your decisions. Don't be swayed by other people's strong opinions about what to do. Take action and be confident that you have chosen the right path. So trust yourself. Your own inner guidance knows what to do. And you have relax and let go. Allow stillness to help you. It's time to relax and trust. You've done everything. Trust what you know and let go. Again, allowing the inner peace and freedom to come in, because then you have good fortune. Good things are coming to you. Believe that. But you have to let go of what isn't serving you. And that message has been coming out for a long time. So let go of all of those things that are not serving you. And maybe it's all the negative emotion. When you do that, you're going to find inner peace and good things are coming your way. All right, guys, if you would like to grab a copy of Beautiful Morning, it is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and also on Apple Books. The link will be in the show notes as well. You can also join us on Patreon. I go live there each week for my all-inclusive membership, which is $10 a month, but you can join us for a 7-day free trial so you can see what it's like. Anyone who shows up on the live gets a reading. It's just a great group of really, really supportive people, and we have a lot of fun. Plus, you get an extra episode of Awaken Your Inner Awesomeness each week that is not available to the public. I hope you guys have an amazing and beautiful week. I am sending you so much love and light, and I will talk to you soon. Bye, guys.